Thank you for calling. This lesson is designed to deal with problems faced by many people. How can we know God exists, and how do we answer questions raised by skeptics and atheists about the Bible? We hope you will listen to this message with an open mind, and if you have questions or would like to hear more, we hope you will write us. An address will be given at the end of the lesson. What is God? One of the great challenges that faces us today in the world is the fact that many individuals, both those who believe in God and those who do not understand what God is. What is your concept of God? When someone says the word God, do you visualize an old man in the sky with a long white beard and big white flowing robes? Unfortunately, there are many people who have such a concept of God. What has happened is that many people have created God in their image, instead of the other way around. We can understand what it means to say that there is a God and that He is not a man by simply thinking about what the Bible means when it says that we are created in the image of God. Suppose that I were to give two professional artists a piece of paper, and I were to ask each of these artists to create a picture in my image. And they sit down and they create a beautiful picture of me, and they carefully draw in all of my features, and they carefully try to create the picture as much as possible in my image. And suppose that they were to hold this work of theirs up, and they were to hold it in front of you, and you were to examine it, and they were to say, "Now look at this picture that we have created in the image of this man." What would you see? Well, I think that it is fairly clear that you would see a picture that looks just like me. If you were to look at me, and you were to look at each of the two pictures that these two artists have drawn, then you would find that they would be exactly the same as me. There would be no difference, no visible difference between me and the pictures that have been created in my image. In Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26, we read that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." And then in verse 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. Male and female created He them." Now if you look like God, and if I look like God, if both of us were created in God's image, and if God were a physical being, then what would be true of you and me? Well, I submit to you that we would be identical twins. We would look exactly alike. There would be no difference between us. And yet I think I'm fairly safe in assuming that you and I do not look exactly alike. And the reason is not because we are not created in the image of God, but it's because God is not a man. We're told in John chapter 4 in verse 24, God is a spirit. And certainly to be a spirit means that we cannot be flesh and blood. Jesus said in Matthew 16:17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who art in heaven." Now clearly, if we are in God's image, and if God is not flesh and blood, then God is not a man who looks as I look, and who has the same kind of limitations that I have. The Bible refers to God as being a light. It refers to God as love. Perhaps there is no better description of what we mean by God than to turn to the book of Acts, to a discourse that was held by an educated man to an educated group of people on Mars Hill. In Acts the 17th chapter, we find the Apostle Paul in verse 22 talking to the men of Athens. First of all, he tells these men that they were too superstitious. And in verse 23, he told them that he had beheld an altar that had the inscription, "To the unknown God." And then Paul said, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And you remember how he described this God? This unknown God that is unknown to many people today? If you'll read down through those verses, especially beginning in verse 27, you'll see that Paul described him not as a man, but he said that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are his offspring. And then he went on to describe the nature of that God. God is a being that is not controlled by time. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we are told that we should not be ignorant of this one thing, that a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God created time. He's not limited by it. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24, God's talking about himself, and he says, "Am I a God near at hand, and not a God far off, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" God is a spirit, not a man. He fills all of time and space. And although in our limited minds we may not be able to comprehend the magnificence of God, we can realize that the God that we worship and the God that we serve is not a limited God, not a God that is confined and restrained, but a God with whom all things are possible. Don't you believe in that God? It's a marvelous thing to realize that the great Creator, who is responsible for all we have and in whom we live and move and have our being, is interested in you and is concerned about your problems and wanting to help you. But we must first draw to Him and accept His offering and accept His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world.
The message you have just heard was